from the book of John and the resurrection account that gives us hope and faith in those first 18 verses. Hear now the word of God. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Our scripture lesson comes from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. And these are the words of Paul as he talks about his perspective of the resurrection. So hear now these words. "Now I remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn have received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that worked in me. Therefore, whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so we have come to believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, open up our hearts and our minds and our ears and our spirits as we hear once again and reflect on this wonderful message of revelation and of resurrection. Be with us now in the name of Christ. Amen. We've spent the entire season of Lent with a series of sermons that have been entitled Genuine Hope. And we have spent a lot of time reading in the epistles or other New Testament lessons to talk about the perspective of the resurrection of people who came after Jesus. And this morning, this all comes together, and in the culminating story and message is that of resurrection. But the message of resurrection is kind of a difficult message, isn't it? Do we really believe it? My first experience with death came when I was about 16 years old. My dad's oldest sister passed away suddenly at the age of 45. She had a massive heart attack on the way home from visiting my grandparents and was gone, just like that. She left behind a husband and two children, one 20 and the other 7. And it was a very tragic death. My oldest cousin, who was 20, was a paramedic or an EMT, and he was the one called to the car where she had passed away. It was happened while she was just in the car at a gas station. And my young nephew, or cousin, who was 7, was in the car and witnessed the whole event. But the person that was most affected by this terrible news was my grandfather. He had lost his baby girl. And if you've lost a child, you know how difficult that can be. We lived next door to my grandparents for most of my growing up years, and so I was there every day, and I could see how losing his baby girl affected his life, how it changed him. And as a 16-year-old girl, I wondered, why in the world would God want to take a woman in her prime with a 7-year-old child? Why did she have to die? I remember hearing my grandfather say those very words. And as I thought about this, I wanted desperately to believe that my Aunt June was in heaven, that she was with God, because that was so much better than believing that she had just ceased to exist. But it seemed almost unbelievable, like some fairy tale that make people feel better, when really it's not necessarily true. Resurrection is almost unbelievable, isn't it? Now, I'm sure many of you have had similar experiences. And even though I was raised in the church, and even though my grandfather was a man of considerable faith, his faith and my faith were shaken. It was hard. It was challenged at his thinking about her death. Questions arose. Is this some fairy tale story, believing in resurrection? That's part of it's natural to begin to question some of the things that we believe in our faith. It's been the case since the very, very beginning. You see, Jesus' own disciples didn't really believe that he'd been resurrected. The women who went to the tomb that morning, they were not going to celebrate a resurrection, were they? They were going to anoint a deceased body and prepare it for burial. Jesus' own disciples were in belief. When Mary Magdalene went into the tomb and it was empty, she says to herself, she didn't say, "Oh, goody, Jesus has been raised from the dead." She said, "Who took him? Where did you put him? I want to go get him and bring him back." When she and the other women told the disciples that they had seen the Lord, in Luke's gospel, it says these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. And then that night, the disciples were hiding out behind locked doors because they were afraid of what they were hearing. And later, two witnesses told the disciple about their encounter with the risen Jesus, but the disciples didn't believe them either. And then there's the story of Thomas. Remember, he was the doubter. And he said, "I won't believe he's alive until I can put my hand where he was wounded and stick my hand in his side." Those people doubted the message that day. And the resurrection has been hard for people to swallow, in even as the years have gone by. In his first letter to the church at Corinth, Paul has much to say about the resurrection because apparently it was a problem for the members of that church as well. There were already those who were refuting the resurrection of Jesus, that it really didn't happen, that it was some mumbo jumbo, it was something that they did to try to pull the wool over people's eyes. And Paul reminded them that without the resurrection, there would be no Christian faith. That the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus are at the very center of everything we believe. And the proof that Paul gives for the resurrection is that the risen Christ appeared to the disciples and to hundreds of other people, including Paul himself. And that continues to be the strongest proclamation we can make regarding the resurrection. You see, there have been messiahs all along. And back in Jesus' day, there were people who claimed to be the Messiah. And they had people who were devoted to them, who followed them all over the place. And these so-called messiahs died. And what happened when they died? Their movement died also. But Jesus's was different. Jesus's movement continued to grow and to thrive and still speaks to us today. Jesus was resurrected so that we might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus loves us. Jesus transforms our life. And that's the message that Paul had. Because you see, Paul's life had been changed drastically because of the message of Christ. You all remember the story of Paul, right? He was a Pharisee. He describes himself as a Pharisee of Pharisees, who didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was, and didn't believe that Jesus was the one sent to be the Messiah. And so what did he do? He spent his early life persecuting those who believed in the way. But on the road to Damascus one day, Paul had an experience with Jesus. He saw Jesus right there in front of him. And his life was transformed. And he believed. That is the message for us this day as we celebrate Easter. The message is that we are saved, that we are transformed, that we are people of God, that we are God's own children. What a wonderful message of hope that is. Amen? It is a wonderful message of hope. And the message goes on that we don't stop by just saying, oh great, Jesus died for me and was resurrected. We are given a mission. We are given the mission to go and tell ourselves. We are the biblical witnesses that are announcing the resurrection today. That's why we are here this morning. That's why we gather every Sunday, is to celebrate the resurrection. It is our holy day. And we, as God's people, feel the transformation of the presence of God through Jesus in our lives. How has the resurrection affected you this morning? Do you believe that Christ is risen? If you believe that Christ is risen, then how are you going to share that power that's been given to you? Christ tells us to go and tell, just like he told Mary to go and tell. Christ tells us that we, through the resurrection, have the power of love, as Ms. Chris shared with the children this morning. And this is an unbelievable truth. It almost sounds too good to be true, but it's true that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life so that we might know the power of the resurrection. Now help us go and tell. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.